That's from Charlotte's Web soundtrack. That's Sarah McLachlan. Isn't that a great song? You know, she's talking about ordinary miracles and, you know, things like the sun rising, the sun setting, the tide coming in and out, and the birds migrating and knowing when to come back, and a seed being able to grow. And we've watched that happen in the last couple of weeks. And when I first heard that song, it just reminds me so much of you moms, ordinary miracles. Because those are things that we can kind of take for granted and not think a whole lot about. They just kind of happen, and we expect it. And moms, you're that way. You do so many things. And today, Lord knows one day isn't enough, but today is a day to honor you and to think about you and to bless you and to thank you for all the things that you do that in many ways, I'm sure, go unnoticed. You are experts at those behind-the-scenes things that you do all the time, and you touch our lives. I think God has given moms big hearts, and you, because you need to love so much. And in so many ways, you hold our families together. You just have a special role in the touches that you do that sometimes, just like a servant, an ordinary servant, just go unnoticed. And yet, God notices them. And we appreciate what you do, and it's so important. I really think that someday in heaven, some of the biggest crowns are going to go to moms. I think there are going to be a lot of surprises. I don't, you know, evangelists and people who do great ministries, but I think there are going to be a lot of big crowns given to moms someday in heaven, and I think that well-deserved. And so this morning our focus is you moms, but the nature of God's word is that when we open it up, it's able to teach all of us. So please don't zone out if you're not a mom or a future mom. Really, this God's word is such that it can help us all grow. And so let's pray, and we'll take a look at what it says. Father, I do thank you for the ordinary miracles that you do every day. God, you keep our heart beating all night long. We don't have to think about breathing. Those simple things, Lord. And watching the season change, we can't add or take away from that. You make it happen. You're making all the trees bud and flourish. And Lord, you say the purpose of your word is to help us bud and flourish. And I pray that we would have good soil in our hearts, each one of us, so that when your word hits our ears, it will hit our hearts, and it will have a chance to grow and bud and flourish. And Lord, today we thank you. And we just pray that every mom just is honored today and blessed, and not just by you, but by all the people in her life, Lord, because you've given us moms, you've given them a special, unique, important role in our world, Lord, and life is better for every family when moms function the way that you want them to, and we don't take it for granted, Lord. We thank you for that, we love you for that, and we need you for that, and so, Lord, just teach us once again from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you enjoy reading? Okay, some of you really do. I see you're real spirited, and some of you are kind of, eh. You know, I missed out in my childhood. All I liked when I was a kind of an elementary student was sports and outdoor sports. And it wasn't until I was in middle school I had a teacher who really got me excited about reading. And I'm so thankful for Mickey's influence in our kids, because they all have their own library cards. And when they go to the library, they'll come home. We have a couple hundred books. And I don't even know how she keeps it, you know, organized so that we don't have all these late fees. But once in a while, but not too often. And even our little boys, our 1 and 2 year olds, they look around, they see everybody, the house is dead quiet. When we come home with the books, everybody's got their stack. They're in their own little spot. And even the little boys are just glued to those books. They just love it. Reading is a great thing. I can remember when I first got into reading Huckleberry Finn. Anybody read that book? Good book. And reading silently to myself at school or at home, and several times laughing out loud because Mark Twain is such a good author. Doesn't a good author make you want to just keep reading? You finish a chapter, and you just don't want to put it down. You want to go to the next chapter. Some of the Frank Peretti books, if you've read those. Max Lucado. Great authors. They make you want to keep reading. I appreciate Mickey. Since the kids have been little, she's always reading a book out loud to the kids. Dozens and dozens of books we finished. and the kids, sometimes the little boys are in their little spot and they're kind of turning upside down and spinning around, but it's quiet and they're just so engaged and they just love hearing Mama read. And it's a wonderful thing. Do you know that God is an author? You ever think about that? This summer we're going to be doing a series about the book of Hebrews. And as I've been reading through Hebrews, one of the verses in chapter 12 jumped out to me. And I just want to use this as an encouragement and an exhortation to you moms. In the verses in chapter 12, verse 2, it'll be up on the board. It says this. Speaks about how Jesus is an author. It says, "Fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith." When I first read that, I thought, well, fix our eyes on Jesus because he's a great example. Right after it says this, it talks about how he endured the cross. When things got hard, he didn't shrink back. He came to do what he was intended to do. But it says he's the author and perfecter of our faith. And I had this picture of Jesus himself being an author and taking a pen and writing down stories and chapters in our lives. And moms, I want you to get a picture right now of Jesus telling you that this morning, no matter where you're at in life right now, we're all at different stages. We've all got different things going on in our lives. He wants to take the pen and he wants to write out this chapter that you're living through right now. And it's so easy for us to take the pen ourselves, isn't it? Isn't it easy for all of us to just say, I'm going to just write, I want to do things my way. God, I'm going to write my own chapter about what I'm living, going through right now. You know, we have these chapters in our lives. And, you know, it starts off when we're born. And God says he knew about each one of us when we were born. Before the foundations of the world, he saw you and me being knit together in our mother's womb. God knew about you. Not one of us was an accident. And God loved you from the first time he knew about you, which was always. It's amazing. And then we have these chapters in our lives where we go through our formative years and we're learning. And our parents are growing us up. Then we go through the teen years. We're kind of discovering, who am I? Where do I belong? How do I fit into this world? And we have all these chapters in our lives. And then you decide, well, I'm either going to get a job in the world or I'll go to school, some sort of training. At some point, many of us get married. That's another chapter in our life. Then you have your first child. And boy, does that grip you. I've witnessed seven deliveries of our children. And every time, it's just so gripping. You just look at that life and you think, God, I can't add anything to what you just did here. It's amazing. You can't take away from it. We can't make it happen. I didn't decide the gender of my children. I didn't decide what color their eyes would be. I didn't decide their genetic makeup. God blended that together and made it happen. It's amazing. All the different chapters in our lives, those are kind of normal chapters. And some of you are grandparents. I already look forward to that. I'm not in a hurry to have my kids grow up, but I do. I look forward to being a grandpa someday. And my mom's a great grandma six times. And I know she relishes being a grandma and being a mom and being a great grandma. And then we have our golden years that they say. And in each of these chapters in our lives, we don't exactly know how we're going to look, how they're going to look and how they're going to turn out, do we? But God does. And I think there's a spiritual tug of war going. As much as God says, I want to be the author of the chapters in your life, Jesus says, give me the pen and let me write out your chapter today and right now. I think there's the devil pulling in the other way and say, hey, tempting us, hold on to the pen. Why don't you write your own autobiography? Why don't you write about yourself and kind of chart out your life on your own? Or maybe we try to make it a little more noble and say, well, let Jesus write the preface, and then I'll take the pen and I'll write the rest. It's not what he wants. There are unexpected chapters in our lives. My father died when our second daughter, Mathia, was born, the very same day, 5 years ago. My mother wasn't ready for the chapter that said, becoming a widow. There was nothing that you can do to prepare for that. It's a shock and a surprise, and yet that was the chapter that she faced. And I admire how she's faced it gracefully. I think she's done a good job of letting Jesus be the author of her faith during that chapter in her life. So no matter where you're at here, especially you moms and future moms, I want to encourage you today, if you think you might have the pen or be pulling it back, just say, God, I give it back to Jesus. I want him to write his life into mine. I want him, his words, his ways, everything about him to be everything about me, because he helps us do whatever we do better. If you're a mom, you need God to be the kind of mom that you want to be. And Jesus says, I'll help. If you're married in a marriage, you need him to be a part of that marriage. And he wants to help so much. In your job, whatever it is that you do, he wants to be a part of that. He wants to be a part of our family lives. He wants to be a part of writing those chapters. And that's so important. So, Mom, I encourage you to just say, God, where am I at? Do I have the pen or do I need to give it back to you? Maybe you have it, and I'm going to just keep trusting you and letting you write out what's happening today and tomorrow and next week and next month and next year. It's okay to plan ahead. That's wise to do. But let's not take charge of our own lives without God's input. He has a lot to say about that. So moms, I want you to think about that question. And we're going to spend some time now talking about how, you know, every mom deserves tender, loving care. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, we all do. We all need it. But moms, you need it so much, and you deserve it so much. We celebrated Mother's Day yesterday because we were all home together. And I'm glad that we did, because our two little boys have fevers. And last night, their mom, my wife, was up 5 times. And I was up 2 times, but I can't give them the comfort that mama can give, especially when one of them nurses. I wasn't much good there. And they need mom's special touch. And I'll tell you what, moms, you need tender, loving care. And so I want to talk to some of the rest of us. What can we do to help the moms in our lives? What can we do? I'm going to talk to the dads and the husbands and to the kids and even the extended family and the church family. There are things that we can do to support the moms in our midst and the moms in our lives. And I think that's important. So let's start off with dads. Oh, dads, we have an important role. The very first thing God commands us to do, to give the tender, loving care that your wife needs, that she requires, is, and Pastor Rob looked at this a few weeks ago, he says, love your wives. It's not just a good idea. It's not a recommendation. It's a command from God. He's saying, husbands, love your wives. And we all kind of have a concept of what that looks like, but then he really ups the ante when we look at how we're supposed to love them, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. If you're a married man, I'd encourage you to spend the rest of your life meditating on this passage so you can learn what God wants, how God wants you to love your wife. Because there's so much in here. We could talk several weeks just about this passage, but I'm going to just hit on a couple of things. Why does God command us to love our wives? Because it's their greatest need. To be loved by the one that they need to be loved by. The way that Christ loved the church, sacrificially, like a servant. You know, I think about that, and I think about how Christ loved me. It says that at my worst, God gave me his best, and he loved me. When Doug was still a sinner, it says that Christ died for me. God sees us with great value. He doesn't look at us as damaged goods. All of us are broken, in a sense, because of our sin. All of us have blemishes and shortcomings and make mistakes. And yet, he gave himself fully to us, and he willingly went to the cross because we needed him to. Christ was the Savior of the church. There's another version when it says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up to her to sanctify her. That's a good word. Sanctify, you know what that word means, men? To set her apart. Do you know that there's nobody else in this world that can set the woman you're married to apart as much as you? Are you setting her apart? Are you making her feel like she is so valued, so blessed, so full of what you need, so loved? Sometimes it's a challenge, I think. What would it be like if Mickey was married to Jesus? Oh boy, boy, do I fall short on that. But what a high standard for us to think about. Are you setting apart your love for your wife so that she feels built up? Because I guarantee you, if I pulled the moms just in this room, not everybody always feels like they're a great mom. Because I know I don't always feel like I'm a great dad. We all feel like, sometimes we feel like, well, it's okay, or sometimes we feel inadequate. Dads, it's up to you to set them apart. You know, when kids are 2 years old, you take a little girl and you put her in a nice little dress and a nice little hat. Who doesn't just want to swoop them up and just hug them and snuggle them and talk to them and sit them on your lap? Or a little boy wearing his little cowboy boots, you know, and his overalls and his little hat. And you just, they're so cute, right? It's easy to do with those two-year-olds. Are you doing that with your wives? Are they getting that feeling like, I love you and value you so much. I set you apart as my one and only. You are valuable to our family. I'm always telling the kids that I'm married to the prettiest woman in the world. I'm always telling the kids that their mama works harder than any other mama. Now, is that true? Of course not. But to us it is. And to you it should be. Set her apart. Sanctify her. We do that, and it says, we cleanse her by the washing with water through the word. I like how Pastor Dave talked about words a few weeks ago. With our kids, same with our wives. God's word, our word, and living words. Are you filling her with those every day? If you really feel her job is important, you will let her know in many ways. If she's the mother of your children, that's a high calling. That's a high purpose. That's an important job. Not anybody can do it. She was handpicked by God to be the mother of your children. Sanctify her and set her apart and let her know that what she's doing is just so important to you and to the kids. And build her up, because I guarantee you she doesn't always feel encouraged. She doesn't always feel adequate. She doesn't always feel like she's doing a great job, because it's a hard job. God has given moms big hearts because they have to give so much. Sometimes I ask myself, Doug, am I presenting Mickey as a radiant church? And sometimes I look at my wife and it's like, man, she's got so much going. I can tell she's run down a little bit. You know, and so I need to step in to sanctify her and set her apart and do what it takes to get her, you know, think about, ask, is my wife a radiant church? Is that how she's presented to me and to the kids and to others? And we need to have that mindset. There's a lot in here that we can work on without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Because of the blood of Christ, that's how we can feel, not because we're perfect. Nobody's married to a perfect woman or a perfect man or has perfect kids. None of us are perfect, but God demonstrated his love to us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. He gave us his absolute best when we showed him our absolute worst. And he looks at us because of Christ's blood without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish. That's amazing. We need to have that mindset to sanctify our wives in that way, men. That's a high calling. If you love her as God commands, you're going to be really providing the kind of tender, loving care that she needs. This next one goes hand in hand. God also calls us as husbands to lead her. This gets misconstrued. It doesn't mean we rule over her. and we make her do things the way we want them to do. When you love her the way she needs to be loved and the way God intends us to love, then you will be leading her in the right ways. And when you lead her well, it's because you're probably loving her well. They really work hand in hand. There's a verse in Proverbs that I think really gets misconstrued here. It says this. I know a lot of guys who read this verse and say, it says, an excellent wife, who can find? They say, wow, he was lucky. Boy, that guy found an excellent wife. What a lucky guy. I wish I would have found one of those. We kind of, you know, drew straws and it wasn't me. Guys, don't read it like that. Who can find? I'll tell you who can find. You. There's an excellent wife in every woman. It's up to us to help find that and discover that. It really relates to how we love them, to sanctify them and set them apart and make them feel valued and redeemed and important because they are. Who can find? Her worth is far above jewels. I agree with that. I'm married to a champion. I know it's true. I tell her that. I tell the kids that. Doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. We think that. She needs to know that. She is worth far above jewels. I'm a rich man in the sense of I have Mickey for a wife. We ought to be able to say that about our wives, guys. And how? Look at the heart of her husband trusts in her. We have so much to say. You want an excellent wife? Who can find? It's up to you guys. Find her. Find that woman inside of her that God intended her to be and let her come out and build her up. That's important. To love her is to lead her, and to lead her is to love her in the way that God intends. And he will have no lack of gain. That's a wonderful proverb. Don't misread that and say, boy, he was lucky, but not me. We're missing out then, guys. Find the excellent wife that God has given you. If you are married today, then God calls you to find that woman inside of the one that you're married to. Now, dads, we have a big role in that, and husbands. But so do the kids. Doesn't matter what age you are. Maybe you're growing up and out of the house. All right? Kids, a couple of things that we need to do that the Bible gives us direction in and how we can give mom tender, loving care. One of them is to look or to learn from her. It says, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father the son he delights in. That includes mothers and daughters as well. Kids, we need to be learning from mom and not disrespecting her, not disobeying her, not disregarding her, because she is one of the main authorities God has put in your life. Is she right all the time? No, just as you aren't, just as none of us are. But God wants us to look to her and learn from her and not despise the discipline that she puts on us. Moms give us boundaries for a reason. And it's good for kids to heed those. You know, this whole wonderful world of Disney, one of the things that I really don't like about it is you watch movies these days, some of the Disney productions, and almost always the kids are the smart ones. They're the ones in the know. And parents and adults are kind of made to look like idiots. They don't know a thing. And the kids always are the ones that figure things out, and they kind of know what's really going on, and the adults are kind of like, they don't know what's... That's not true. That's wrong thinking. It really is. And yet, in Hollywood, that's what we see. We got to see through that. Value moms, learn her discipline. Value what she's trying to teach you. Value the love that is behind that, kids. I had a fifth grade student who said, hey, Mr. M, can I ask your opinion about something? She asked this last weekend. She said, I have kind of a dilemma. You know, on one side, I have a chance to see my cousin who I haven't seen for a long time. And on the other side, I got something special going on at Sunday school, and I'm not sure which one to do. And the first thing I said is, well, did you ask your parents? Yeah. And what did they tell you? Well, they told me the one I didn't really like. I didn't answer her question, by the way. I said, you know what? I would obey your parents. I would listen to what they told you because they know you a whole lot better. And I think it's a good idea to do that. I don't know what she decided. But you know what? Kids, it's kind of in our nature, in our flesh, to go against, you know, authority or even our parents or our mom. Don't do it. Even if they're wrong, God will bless you because you listened and obeyed. It's a good thing. Learn from her. She really does love you. Take their counsel. You know, moms have lived a whole lot longer than us kids, and they have a lot more experiences to draw on. And don't disregard that. Learn from that. Receive it. It's a good thing. Along the same lines, look up to her. Don't just learn from her, but look up to her. Kids, this is a famous promise and a command for children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth. What a promise and what a command. It's not just a promise and it's not just a command. It's both, and they work together. Children, obey your parents. Children, obey your mother. You've heard the old saying, children should obey quickly the first time. Mom shouldn't have to repeat it twice. They should obey cheerfully. Do it with a good attitude. They should obey completely. Do exactly what she said. Not because she's right all the time, but because God will bless that. I look back at the times my mom disciplined me and my brothers and sisters. We had 7 children. And wow, I'm amazed she stayed sane. I mean, she had a lot to balance in her life. And yet I look back and I just am so thankful for her heart and her love. And sometimes it showed itself through just discipline. It was love. Giving us boundaries. It's so important. It's so important. It teaches us to respect our parents and to respect authority. It teaches us responsibility. Kids, it is good for you. I don't believe God is going to bless your spiritual walk, kids, if you are unwilling to obey your parents and say, well, I'm a Christian and I'm doing these other things, but I don't listen to my folks because they don't know what they're talking about. Doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way. That's like the main hurdle in your life. When you're growing up under their wing, you follow their instructions, right or wrong. Now, of course, there are sides to that that you have to draw lines, but by and large, God calls us to obey them and to listen to them. This next one is for the whole family. How can the whole family encourage mom and give her tender, loving care? Look after her. We have a relatively young congregation here. But as moms get older, they should not have to worry all on their own, what's going to happen to me? My mom became a widow 5 years ago. She owns her own home. It's a lot harder for her to mow the lawn and shovel and do home repairs. And I have some family that lives back home that helps her with those things. But moms, you need to know that you're going to be cared for because God calls us to do that, to care for our families and to be thinking ahead and planning ahead for that. I appreciate some of you know Fern. She comes second service, and I just appreciate how the whole Holman family rallies around to care for her needs. She's lived with them for a while, and then when she has special medical attention needs, they make sure that she's in a good place where she gets her needs met. That's so important. That's not on her to have to worry about. And moms, as you get older, you shouldn't have to bear that burden all on your own either. I don't know, it might look many different ways, but families, we need to rally behind mom and plan for that. I so appreciate the example of the oldest in our family, my sister Pam. Her and her husband are empty nesters. They're at a point in life where their kids are grown up, gone to college, got jobs. They're grandmas and grandpas. They have great kids. They have a 20-acre farm. In addition to their normal jobs, they had a ministry every summer where they had a Christian camp where they have horses and disabled kids would come and they'd ride and they'd do these Christian camps. Very successful. And last summer they made a decision to sell it all so that my mom can live with them in preparation for the future. My mom is 71 years old now, and she's still in good health, but they just are thinking in terms of her future, and it just touched my heart because they had a beautiful home and beautiful land, and they had all this stuff going on, and yet they're willing to sell all of that to say, Mom, will you please come and live with us so we can take care of you as you get older? And in some ways, I know my mom was blessed by that. She didn't feel like she's giving up independence or freedom. She felt blessed and cared for by the family. And all of us have rallied around that to help her. We need to be doing that and thinking in those terms. Dads, when you love her and lead her. Children, when you learn from her and look up to her. Family, when we care for her. You know the results of that tender, loving care? There's, you know, we hear about this famous Proverbs 31 woman, the virtuous woman, right? The perfect woman. Like everybody, you know, if you read Proverbs 31, it talks about this like superwoman. It's like, who could be her? Let's attain to be her. And yet, moms, I want you to be encouraged because that's a plan God has for you. Not to be a super mom in your own strength. Nobody can do that. But let's take a look at a few of those passages from Proverbs 31. The results of godly, tender, loving care can be this for you. Strength and dignity are her clothing. She smiles at the future. Are you able to smile at the future, Mom? Are you able to embrace whatever's happening in your life and whatever's coming, even those unexpected chapters? To be able to smile at the future, not because you're strong, not because you've got it all together, but because you've got Jesus as the author of your faith, and he's writing the chapter, and you're going along with him. It says, her children rise up and bless her, her husband also. How are our kids going to rise up and bless her if, dads, we're not doing it first? If we're not modeling what God wants us to be doing, how in the world are our kids going to do that? That's hypocrisy. It doesn't happen if dads aren't doing it. But what a wonderful picture. Her children rise up and bless her. I see that in my mom's been a woman of faith for years, and in all of her kids, just we do that because we see what a jewel she has been and what a jewel she is. Her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain. Amen to that, huh? We don't stay 20-something for very long, do we? No. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. That can describe you, Mom. That can describe you for the rest of your life. This passage can describe you. You don't always feel like that, I know. You don't always feel like that could ever be you. But by God's grace and Jesus holding the pen and authoring your faith and perfecting it day by day with his help, that can be you. That's God's plan. What a good plan. He just wants to be part of your life. Wherever you're at, whatever it is that you're doing right now, ask yourself, who's got the pen? And I encourage you, I challenge you, not just moms, but all of us, to just say, Lord, I guess I've taken it back from you, and I've been kind of writing my own script here. I just want to offer it back to you. I need your input. I want to smile at the future. I want to be clothed with strength and dignity. I want a family who blesses me and says that. I want a future that's bright because of you. I want to hold on to hope no matter what happens in my life. I want to know that nothing can separate me from the love of Christ. I want to know those truths from your word. And when you do that, you can be that woman. It's not unattainable. She's not just some superwoman. She's just a woman who's humbled herself and has relied on God to be the author of her faith. And so, moms, that's my prayer for you this morning. I pray that, you know, you deserve the best, moms. You are blessed because of what you do. You have big hearts. We thank you. We need you. In so many ways, you hold our families together. And I pray that God will bless you as you just relinquish the pen and say, Jesus, write this chapter. You know what I'm going through right now. If nobody understands, if your husband doesn't understand, or your kids, or your best friend, he does. He knows exactly what you're going through. And he wants to be a part of tomorrow and your future and all of those things. So let's pray. Father, I do thank you so much for every heart, every life here, every mom. God, I pray that we would take to heart your words to bless the moms in our lives with tender, loving care. And Lord, I know that every mom doesn't have a husband to help her, that there are some that are doing it on their own, and yet you fill the gaps with your grace, and you fill the gaps even with the church family, and others stepping in. And Lord, you are able to do what we just can't do on our own. And I just pray that all of us, maybe we've been holding on to the pen a little bit, we would just relinquish it to you, and we would let you write into our lives the things that you want to write into. And Lord, we thank you. Thank you that we can gather here. Thank you that you're with us. Thank you that you love us. And Lord, I do pray that every mom would be blessed and honored today, just as she deserves every single day. In Jesus' name, amen.